Okay, we're beginning here on the bottom of Zayin Amud Beth by the two dots. Tanu Banan, Mivarchim Birkat Chatanim Ba'asara Kol Shiva. We make the Birkat Chatanim with 10. Kol Shiva, all 7 days of Sheva Brachot. Rav Yehuda, and now we have the qualification, which is Vahu Shiba'u Panim Chadashot. That's only if we have Panim Chadashot over here. As Rashi says here, B'chol Yom Shalu Yusham Etmo. Somebody wasn't there beforehand. Question of what the Panim Chadashot do over here is a machloket in the Rishonim on two levels. One level is, does the Panim Chadashot just in din and simcha, which is an added simcha or a dimension of simcha that we're trying to bring, and that's why you need the Panim Chadashot. We're going to see that later on in the Gemara. Or is it also simcha vireut? Does it have to be a simcha that's generated through reut as well, which there's a closeness to the simcha? It's not just simply you borrow the neighbor and he comes over and there's panim chadashot, but it has to be panim chadashot that actually have impact on the chatan and kala. It might have to do with how you view sheva brachot outside of the chuppah. Yesterday we spoke about sheva brachot at the chuppah, the birkat chatanim, birkat nisuin. Are the brachot of the sheva brachot in the subsequent days a similar build to that which is at the chuppah, or they are their own entity? They're about the simcha. So if it's simply about the simcha, you could add anybody. If it's about the simchat chatan v'kala, then maybe you need to add simcha v'reut. You would have to add in individuals who the chatan v'kala know. And then the other dimension in terms of panim chadashot is, what do panim chadashot do? The question is, what is the simcha here that's associated? Is it simply that there are new people here, so it enhances and increases the simcha? Or you have the sheet of the Ritva and the Rashba, who basically say that once you bring panim chadashot, it becomes like a reenactment of the chuppah. So then it changes the dynamic or dimension of the sheva brachot. The sheva brachot without panim chadashot are simply simcha. The sheva brachot afterwards with panim chadashot are as if now there's a new chuppah. It's as if for these panim chadashot, you have a new couple, the new wedding, the marriage, almost the nisuin are happening again for these individuals. And that might be the enhancement of the simcha over here. And again, there you can ask the question whether it has to be a simcha plain, just people that are new, or it has to be simcha v'reyut, again, in order to generate that aspect of the panim chadashot. So you have these different levels of explanation as to why panim chadashot make a difference over here. And again, we'll see it in the Gemara coming up as to their impact in terms of panim chadashot. Tosafot over here quotes the fact that Shabbat itself is panim chadashot. He says, based on Mizmor that says, Omri, the panim chadashot ene korel b'bnei adam, shimrabim bishvilam asimcha yoter. So here you have Tosva clearly saying that it has to be individuals that have impact, and therefore it increases or enhances the simcha. It's not just the fact that there's someone new there. It has to be something that increases the simcha for the chatan v'chala. B'shabbat dechashvinan panim chadashot. Shabbat is considered to be panim chadashot. Tamrinim ba'agada, because we have in the Midrash, Mizmor shili yom ha-shabbat, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Panuim Chadashot Ba'ulikan, that there's a new face here, there's a new guest here, and that we treat Shabbat in that way in all aspects. When we greet the Shabbat, we go out to greet the Shabbat HaMalka, the Chadudi Likrat Kala. We talk about greeting the Shabbat Kala. So we do treat Shabbat in many ways like a guest, a real guest that's coming. And in terms of setting the table and preparing for the Shabbat, many times the analogy is used is talking about a guest or an important guest that's coming. So just like Shabbat is treated that way in terms of our greeting of the Shabbat, we also treat it that way in terms of the panim chadashot here. And therefore, ne'mar shira. We're going to sing shira because there are panim chadashot here. That's with regards to Mizmor Shili Yom HaShabbat. So same thing, marbim lichvod haShabbat v'simcha b'suda. He says, because it's Shabbat, the sheva brachot take on an added dimension of simcha. Even without a new person, just the fact that it's Shabbat enhances the simcha. So enhancing the simcha, we add on. There are new people, there are more people here at the simcha to join us, and we're going to put out more food, and nicer food because of the Shabbat, and that enhances simcha. I'd also say that in terms of what we've spoken before of the cycles of life, that we've talked about paralleling between the velut and the simcha, that whenever you talk about a 7-day window, we're talking about the first day of the week that this experience happened. You know, in Avelut, it's very easy to understand. This is the first Monday you're experiencing without this individual. This is the first Tuesday, first Wednesday, the first Shabbat experiencing without this individual. That has an additional dimension to it. Shabbat is a unique day vis-a-vis the rest of the week, and any 7-day period is going to cover Shabbat. So when an avelut, you're without that person for that 7-day period, that's the same thing too with the positive experience of Simcha. This is the first day time of Shabbat that the couple is together as a unit on Shabbat. And that's different than being together on a weekday. And so there's a different dimension of Simcha that's associated with Shabbat, just like by avelut, there's a different dimension. Obviously, Shabbat causes problems for avelut because of they cannot be reconciled totally, so there's only avelut b'tzinah. But there's still avelut on Shabbat because of the fact that this is the first Shabbat that we have with that individual. And then, again, the cycles move on. These are the first days of the week. Then after that, it's the first month we experience. That's the first year that we experience. All of those experiences are the first times. And so, again, first times are always important, both b'tzad avelut and b'tzad simcha. And Shabbat is that way as well. Here, that Shabbat adds that additional dimension of simcha. Okay, my mevarech. What are the sheva brachot? So I'm Rav Yehuda. Obviously, there are only 6 brachot. They're not 7 brachot because Bori Priya Gofen is one of the sheva brachot. Where you place the Bori Priya Gofen is interesting. But generally here, we would place the Bori Priya Gofen in the beginning because we saw Misadron al HaKos. We put them on the coast, just like we do by Abdullah. Very similar to conceptually what we do by Abdullah. That we take disparate items, like the Nair, like the Bisamim, and they do it all al HaKos. Even though technically there's no necessity to do malakos, but it gives them chashivut by putting them together alakos. So the same thing by the Birkat Sheva Brachot, we want to put them alakos to make give it a certain amount of chashivut, as well as the fact that the Rashbam in the Gemara and Psachim and Arvei Psachim says that whenever we sing Shira, we say something that's a simcha, we do it alakos. So here too, there's an concept of alakos. By Birkat Hamazon, there's a technicality of why we put the Bori Priya Gofen at the end, because we're trying to cover 2 things at the same time. We're doing Birkat Hamazon al HaKos, the Sheva Brachot al HaKos, and we're trying to get them together. But at the Chuppah, Bori Priya Gofen is the first of the Sheva Brachot, and many people are makpid to put the first 2 Brachot together, which is Bori Priya Gofen and Shakol Barah L'Chvodo, which we'll see in a second, put them together in order to have that be the unit or the establishment of the unit. Bori Priya Gofen doesn't stand alone. Bori Priya Gofen is just the framework in which the Sheva Brachot take place. It's one of the Sheva Brachot, but it's really not a Sheva Bracha. It's just the framework, and therefore we want to put the first 2 together so you note that the first of the Brachot starts already Al HaYayin of Bori Priya Gofen. So the first of the Brachot is Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Shehakol Bara Lichvodo. The second Bracha is Yotzer HaAdam. The third Bracha is Asher Yatzar Et HaAdam Bitzalmo. Bitzelem dmut tavnito, vihitgino mimenu binyan adead, baruch ata Hashem, yotzer ha'adam. That's number 3. We'll go through each of these brachot in a second. Sos tasis, vitagela akara, vikibuz banela tocha b'simcha, baruch ata Hashem, mesameach tzion bivana is number 4. Number 5 is sameach tesamach reim ha'uvim, kesamechicha yitzercha biganedim mikedem, baruch ata Hashem, mesameach hatan v'chala. The number 6 is Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Asher Baro Asasum V'Simcha Chatan V'Kala Gila Rina Ditza Ched V'Vava Acho V'Achva Shalom Reyut Meheira Hashem Elokeinu Yishama Barei Yehuda V'Chutzot Yerushalayim Kol Sason V'Kol Simcha Kol Chatan V'Kol Kala Kol Mitzalot Chatanim Mechupatam U'Niarim M'Mishtei Neginatam Baruch Ata Hashem Mesameach Chatan Im Hakala, which is our Girsa. Rashi upholds this Girsa. You know that the Bahag has a different girsa, which is Siyum HaBracha is the same, which is that it's Mesameach Chatan V'Chala for both of these brachot, both the bracha number 5 and bracha number 6. And therefore, according to the Bahag, he sees both of them as a tefillah, and not one of them as a tefillah, and one of them as a Sherech Voda. And that might color what the Bahag views as the Asher Bara versus the other brachot that are there. Rashi over here clearly notes that they should be separate and looks at them differently because of that. So the number of questions I have to answer before we even get into the Lashon of the Brachot, which is the structure of the Brachot. You can see here that we have a Bracha that begins with the Bracha, Shakol Bara Lichvodo. Yotzer Adam begins with Baruch. And then Asher Yatzar Et Adam Bitzalmo also begins with Baruch. Then we begin a series of Brachot that start without the word Baruch, but do have a closure with Baruch. They start without Baruch and then close with Baruch. Why is that? And then the final bracha, number 6, starts with Baruch and ends with Baruch. So you have to explain why you have all these differences. And that's what Rashi does over here. Rashi explains, you can look at it, it's the last wide line in the Rashi. Lefi Seder Matchil Asher Yatzar. We begin from Asher Yatzar. Lefikach Patach Baba Baruch. So what Rashi says is that Sheva Brachot really begin from Ashei Yatzar, and that's why it begins with Baruch. V'chatam ba-baruch, k'dera kol Rashi Sidrei Brachot. Like you do in the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei. When you begin Shemoneh Esrei, the first bracha begins with Baruch, and then ends with Baruch. Every subsequent bracha after that does not begin with Baruch. It opens up because it's what we call a bracha smucha l'chaverta. It's a bracha that is up against another bracha. Therefore, there's no opening bracha in the subsequent brachot. So that's why the next bracha, sos tesis, sameach tesamach, begin without Baruch, because they are bracha ha-smucha l'chaverta. Shekein tiknu l'chol ha-brachot, shesmuchot ha-chai rishonot ala seder. Vasher bara. So Rashi says over here, vasher bara, mipni shenea merit yichidat, berov yimei ha-mishte, because it is said by itself, rov of the mishte, kishein sham panim chadashot, when there are no panim chadashot, lefikach eina min ha-smuchot. Therefore it's not granted the din ha-smuchot, So why does the final bracha begin? Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Asher Bara Sazon L'Simcha. It's also a bracha smucha l'chaverta. That is because structurally it many times is found alone. That is because we'll see in the upcoming Gemara that when you do not have panim chadashot, that bracha still stays. Even though all the other brachot drop away from Sheva brachot, that bracha stays. So since that bracha sometimes has an independent stance, and it's not going to be a bracha smucha l'chaverta, the structure of the bracha is that it begins with Baruch. So even though technically, when it is part of the Sheva Brachot, you wouldn't need a Ptichat Baruch, but since it's basically lifted from the other times of Sheva Brachot, where it would be alone, therefore we have a structure that begins with Baruch and ends with Baruch. You don't want to have two versions of the bracha. So here, now we've explained the latter four brachot here, as to why they're structured this way. Now Rashi still has to explain why the first two brachot are not part of the system. Aval, shakol bara lekvodo, eina min haseder, ela lasifat ha'ama nesafim, sham ligmol chesed, zecher lechasdei ha'makom, shnahagim adam ha'rishon. Similar to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did with Adam ha'rishon, I mentioned this in yesterday's shiur, that he was a shush binin for Adam ha'rishon. Adam ha'rishon's best man was HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shnahasa lo shush binim, nintasek bo, vasifa zu kvod ha'makomu, bracha zu lekach nitgana. This is the Kvod HaMakom. We are emulating what God did. We are acting like God. We are Mesameach Chatan Bekala, similar to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for Adam HaRishon. He was Sameach Chatan and Bekala, but mostly he was the Shushbinim of the Chatan. And over there, we said, what did he do? He gave a Bracha, because the HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Sameach Chatan, or took care of Adam, by giving him a Bracha. That is the Simchat Chatan Bekala. I mentioned yesterday, Rav Soloveitchik's statement, that the Ikar, Simchat Chatan Bekala, is the Sheva Brachot. And therefore, if you leave the wedding before the Sheva Brachot, you haven't accomplished the main Simchat Chatan Bekala, because that's exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. If we're emulating HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mesameach Chatan Bekala, that's what Hashem did for Adam HaRishon. He gave him a Brachot. That was the Ikar Simcha. But over here, we're doing this Shakol Baralik Bodo, which is, here we are emulating God, and we're acting like God, because we want to give a Kavod to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's basically a call to the Am. It's telling the people, let's gather together, and you gather together here to give kavod to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to emulate what Hashem does. So then he says, "Sha'ata sifahi ruya levarich." And the time that everybody's gathered together, that's the time to say the bracha. Elamikaven sheish bracha lakos, his kikula sedra alav. So truthfully, you should say this at the beginning of Shep, when everybody gathers there for the meal. When they come in for the meal, they should make the bracha, shakol baralik vodo, because it's really the opening salvo. It's telling, oh, welcome everybody. It's basically the welcome bracha. But since we are already going to put it alakos, all the other Sheva bracha alakos, so we put it together with the others. Mide dahava, abrikat bisamim, ubrikat alaor, bimotse shabbat, similar to Abdallah. Even though there's no need to put them together, there's still value, or there's still something worthwhile to do when you misajra an alakos. So also over here, we're Mesajim Alakos. Ufish eina mishar seder brachot, v'kula hoda achat. Since it's not a part of the other brachot, it's an independent bracha, and it's a very short bracha, therefore, it begins with Baruch, but has no chatima. No chatima, because it's like birkat ha-mitzvot, birkat ha-peirot, short, one theme, and therefore, it has its only opening bracha, no closing bracha. In addition to that, there its own status, so it starts with Baruch. Ben birkat yutzer adam, the Birkat Yotzer Adam, which we're going to see a second in the Gemara, was for the first Yotzer of Adam, before Chava was in the picture. Therefore, Mikom Makom, Eina Miseder Birkat HaZivug. Because the Birkat HaZivug comes from the second Yotzer, which includes Chava. So in terms of the couple, and the Brachot of the couple, Asher Yatzar Adam is the beginning of that process. It says that's the beginning of the process. That's the beginning of Sheva Brachot. So that's the opening Baruch from where we start all the Brachot Asmuchot Lechaverta. The other two Brachot are like introductory Brachot. Shekol Bracha Bar Aleph Vodo is an introduction to the Am, or welcoming everybody who came and thanking them for coming. And Yotzer Adam is giving us introduction to the upcoming Bracha, which is telling us that Hashem at one point had created man alone, and then we only move into the Zivug as the next Bracha. So again, it's a short Bracha, and it's not classified as one of the Sheva Brachot according to Rashi, and therefore it is not a Bracha Hasmucha Lechaverta, and that's why Bracha, the next Bracha, begins with Baruch again, because that really begins thematically the Sheva Brachot. That's the way Rashi terms it. Alright, there are those that argue on Rashi on both levels. Those that argue, we're going to see in a second in Tosafot, that Yotzer Adam is part of the Birkat HaZivug. And number two is that, less likely, fewer people, but there are those that argue also with Rashi about Shakol Baralich Vodo, is also part of the Sheva Brachot, and not like Rashi suggests over here, that it is separate. Then you have to answer, Rashi here already gives you the logic of why there's no Brachas Mucha Lechaverta, and then you have to start asking about the structural issues. So let's see Tosafot. Potechet B'Baruch, Afopi, Shakol Achat, Smucha lechaverta, kevin di kitzarotim. They begin with Baruch because they're all small brachot. So that explains why Shakol Barach lechvado and Yotzer Adam begin with Baruch, even though they're smucha lechaverta, similar to Birkat HaShachar. When you say all the brachot of Birkat HaShachar, even though they're smucha lechaverta, since each one is a singular unit, that is one theme, we say Baruch by each one of them. So that's number one. V'chein, Asher Yatzar, Loya Poteach b'Baruch, Ayan Yira, Shaita miyotchila mi baruch yotzer adam asher yatzar. Then when it comes to the bracha of asher yatzar, if it had not begun with baruch, it would look like one long bracha. So Tosafot says there's a technical problem here. You're right. It is bracha smucha lechaverta yotzer adam to asher yatzar et adam. That there's a technical problem, because if I did not make a baruch in the beginning of asher yatzar et adam, you would just think it's one big bracha. It opens with baruch and closes with baruch, and it's the first bracha. And the opening Baruch is Yotzer Adam, and I wouldn't have viewed them as two separate brachot. How can I clearly define for you that they're two separate brachot? I have them both open with Baruch. So Tosfot says, in Ochanami, the Sheva brachot begin from Yotzer Adam, but it's not called a brachas mukhad or chaverta by Asher Yotzer Adam, only because we want to delineate that it's a separate bracha, and not make it like one bracha. And Tosfot brings a proof to that from Birkat HaTorah. By Birkat HaTorah, we say, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Sheker Yishanu Mitzvah V'tzivanu La'asok B'Divrei Torah, V'Harev Na. Is V'Harev Na a bracha smucha lechaverta, or is it one bracha? Tosafot over here claims it's one bracha, that it's one big bracha that closes after you finish it. And he brings proofs from the Gemara in Brachot, but he shows you that that would happen. It's automatically assumed when you have a short bracha leading into a longer bracha that doesn't open with Baruch, that they're actually thematically one, and actually one bracha. And he says, by Birkat HaTorah, it's one bracha. And had we done the same thing here, it would have looked exactly like Birkat HaTorah, and he would have counted it as one bracha instead of two brachot. So in order to protect against what's happening by Birkat HaTorah, where you would have to say, Lasok B'Divrei Torah, and then Baruch HaShem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Arev Na, then you would be able to delineate them as two brachot. There Tosafot says they're one bracha. Just like there, they'd be one bracha sot over here. How do I stop that? I put a baruch in there to show you that they are two separate brachot. Now, we'll come back and discuss why Rashi and Tosafot might be arguing about whether Yotzer Adam is chelik misheva brachot or not based on the upcoming Gemara. Right now, we'll move on to the Nusach HaBrachot here, which is the next bracha, Shasher Adam B'Tzalmo, B'Tzalem Dmut Tavnito, which makes sense, right? Hashem created man, B'Tzalem Elohim. So that's what we're saying over here. V'hitkin lo mimenu binyan adayad. And from him he made a everlasting binyan, as it refers to Chava. Because they took from Adam one of his tzlaot, they took one of his ribs, and they built it into Chava. And we've seen in other places in Shas that that's called binyan, that the building, or vayivein menasela, that Hashem made from the rib, Chava. So you see that there's a binyan adayad that is taken away from Adam, from this tzelem elukim. It up. The Gemara in Shabbat talks about that Hashem braided Chava's hair, and that's Vayiven. That braiding is called Binyan, and that's what the Gemara in Shabbat says, that it's a malacha. Now that's a braid on Shabbat because of that Vayiven. And that's Yotzer Adam. Now, Sostasis v'tagel ha'akara, the akara that we're referring to over here is Yerushalayim. V'kibuz v'nelo tocha b'simcha. Now, Chatan v'Kala have a unique standing with regards to Yerushalayim and Churban HaBayit. It's very clear here, both in the fact that it's included in the brachot here, as well as the activities that we undertake under the chupa, where we specifically make note of the fact that we are Mazkir Yerushalayim, that Arosh Simchati, we view Chatan v'Kala as Rosh Simchati. We also know that when a young couple gets married, it's Ki'ilu Banu Achad Mechuvot Yerushalayim, the Midrash tells us, when a young couple gets married and build a Bayit Neman, that's as if they have now built one of the Churvot Yerushalayim. So we see, and this goes back to what I mentioned yesterday, we see invested in this wedding, not just the couple getting married, but all of Klal Yisrael has a vested interest in producing, first of all, a continuum, which is the Piri Arivya, the Basar Achad that will come from here, but also ensuring that the couples get married Bikdusha in the framework. And therefore, this is not just the simcha of one particular individual or the simcha of the couple. This is a simcha for all of Klal Yisrael. If we view it in that prism, that this is really a simcha of all of Klal Yisrael, then Korban Yerushalayim, we call the Avelut of all of Klal Yisrael, then they have to be brought together. I mean, that we speak about both of them in that context. And so this bracha is the same bracha. Just like here, all of Klal Yisrael wants the simcha of this couple and wants the success of this couple that are married Bik Dusha, and will ensure the continuation of Amir Sora. So too, we would like to see Yerushalayim rebuilt, because these are two things that are important to the entire Am. These are two things that are paramount for the entire Am. And therefore, Churban Yerushalayim plays an important role inside of any wedding. Here you would think, maybe even in the, if you already mentioned Yerushalayim in the Sheva Brachot, you wouldn't have to do something separate at the Chuppah. Nevertheless, we still do something separate. I mean, that's how much emphasis we place on Churban Yerushalayim and keeping Yerushalayim in the perspective of what's going on at the wedding, not only because of Avelut Yerushalayim, but also because of Binyan Yerushalayim, that we see this as being a Binyan of a couple, but a Binyan of Klal Yisrael, and we want to say the same thing, or the same thing happened with Binyan Yerushalayim. All right, now, Sameach Tisamach, Re'im Ahuvim. So over here you see that there's this aspect of Re'im over here. It's not enough to have Simcha, but it's Re'im Ahuvim. That is where we spoke before about the Parim Chadashot, where they simply have to be Simcha, or they have to be Simcha ve-Reyut, because we see here the mention of Reim Ahuvim. Now you can say Reim Ahuvim could be referring to the Chatan v'Kala, those that love each other, that Reim Ahuvim, or Reim Ahuvim could be the perspective of those people that are gathered here. Sameach tesameach Reim Ahuvim. You, all of us, should be together. Kisamechecha yitzircha b'gan Eden mikedem. The way that you made happy Adam HaRishon in Gan Eden Mikedem. I mean, again, what we spoke about before, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the Shushbinin for Adam HaRishon, and Hashem provided a bracha for Adam HaRishon. We close the bracha with Baruch Atah Hashem Mesameach Chatan V'Chala. So Rashi over here says that is a tefillah. Here it is Mesameach Chatan V'Chala. In the Achrona, it's Mesameach Chatan Im HaKala. Because the simcha in the bracha Rishona is not b'simchat chatuna umrim she'tfilahi. That is a bracha. Shemitpalim umivarchim shiusmechim b'hatzlacha kol yimehem. It's about the success in simcha of the couple. V'kach ein lachtom ba mesameach chatan im hakala. It is not giving shevach to a Kadosh Baruch Hu and saying that Hashem is mesameach chatan im hakala. D'mashma ish b'ishto. Ela baruch Hashem mesameach et shnehem le'olam b'sipuk mezonot v'chol tov. It's rather a tefillah to Hashem that Hashem should provide simcha to the chatan v'chala. So it's not about the relationship between them, but rather it is about Hashem's relationship to the couple in general. And that's why he says, Sameach tisamach reim ahuvim kisamechecha yitzircha megan Eden mikedem. That it should be like the simcha that we had in Gan Eden. Now the simcha in Gan Eden was provided by HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Birkat Chatanim. And the fact that he gave Adam Rishon a bracha, so over here, Mesameach Chatan V'Kala is the bracha that we want Hashem, the tefillah, or the bracha that we want Hashem to give to the Chatan V'Kala. And that's why Rashi views that as being the right gear over here. As opposed to the final bracha, where we end with Mesameach Chatan Im HaKala, which is a bracha known, Sheva Shemashabech Dokarish Baruch Hu Shebara Chatunot. That Hashem created this methodology for bringing simcha to man, that's a shevach v'hoda'ah. So Rashi views this last bracha as being a birkat shevach v'hoda'ah, and therefore the closure of that bracha should be a lashon of simchat ish b'isha, Because we're thanking Hashem for providing us this simcha, or this methodology of reaching simcha of a chatan ima kala. So now the final bracha, which thematically is questionable about what it is about, because, again, we said before, there are many times that it stands alone. Because it stands alone, it opens with Baruch. We already heard from Rashi that Sameach Chatan Ima Kala makes it into Birkat Shevach Vehoda. Question is, the content of the middle of the bracha. So there are two ways to view it. Isn't an independent bracha? It's its own theme and it does its own thing. And it happens to be a very long bracha. Or is it a summary of everything that we've said until now? Does it encapsulate all the other brachot, like you would do with any summary or concluding statement that you make? Like you're writing a paragraph, the final sentence or a couple of sentences will have a summary of everything that you've spoken about. So Tovir, this bracha encapsulates everything that we've spoken to until now. Or is it simply just its own bracha, and we're not looking to encapsulate, we're just, it's a large bracha of Shevach Vahodah, independent of the other brachot. So that might make a difference as to how we view this bracha independently. When it's part of Sheva Brachot, it's not such a big deal. But when it's separated from Sheva Brachot, what is the status of this bracha? And that might influence what you need in order to make this bracha. I'll just tell you, we're going to get to it in the Gemara, but do you need a minion for this bracha? Or is it enough just to have a mezumen to get to this bracha? Does this bracha require panim chadashot? Does not require panim chadashot? We see already in the Gemara that you don't need panim chadashot for this. So this bracha has something different than maybe the other brachot. And then you have to ask the question, is this part of the Birkat Chatanim? Or is this separate and it's a Birkat Shevach Vahodah and not part of the Birkat Chatanim? And even if it is a Birkat Chatanim, is it a Davar Shebikdusha? Or is it simply Orach Arvah? We want 10 people here because that's a nice thing, or that's the proper way to do it. But without 10 people, maybe it's fine also. So again, because of the nature of this last bracha, it might make a difference how we view it as to what we require in order to say this bracha. But it's interesting, again, that the Baha'i does not differentiate between the two brachot, and he doesn't have that distinction that is drawn by Rashi. Right now, I'm not going to translate each word in the bracha. I think people are very familiar with them. And you could see in them the themes that we've talked about together. Shakol bara lichvodo, asher bara. Then you have Yotzer et Adam, which is Abrer sason v'simcha chatan v'kala. So you have the creation of man and woman, or the chatan v'kala. And then you have the brachot of Sostasis, which is Odi Shema Be'arei Yehuda B'chutzot Yerushalayim Kol Sason B'Kol Simcha. Then you have Kol Chatan Kol Tala Kol Metzalot Chatanim Mechupatam Uniarim Mimishtei Neginatam. So we talk about the Chatan and the Kala in terms of their experience of Simcha, Sameach Tesamach, and then Mesameach Chatanim B'Kala is the closure. So you have a small, almost summary of everything that we said until now. Again, that could be because it is trying to summarize, or it just could be because that's the nature of the bracha. Right now, the Gemara continues. Levi ikla lebei Rabbi. So Levi, who is a Talmid of Rabbi, he is one of those individuals that sits in the in-between generation between the end of the Tanaim and the beginning of the Amoraim, along with people like Avua de Shmuel. Rav is sometimes placed in that in-between generation between Rabbi at the closure of the Tanaim and Amoraim, the beginning of the Amoraim, which begin with Rav and Shmuel. Ikla lebei Rabbi. He went to be Rabbi Behugulei de Rabbi Shimon Brei. This is Rabbi's son, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon Birabi, Baruch Chamesh. He only made 5 of the Sheva Brachot. Here we have 6, so he made 5 out of the 6 Sheva Brachot. Ravasi ikla lebei Ravashi. Ravasi went to Ravashi's house, Bihilulei de Mar Berei. The Gemara in Shas, Ravashi's son is known as Mar Berei de Ravashi. So over here, they talk about Ravashi's son, Mar Berei, his master, his son, but obviously it's because of the way that they address him in Shas. Marbrei Rashi is one of the last of the Amoraim. Over here, Ravasi was at the wedding, Baruch Shit. He made 6. Lema Bahaka Miflagate. What were they arguing about? Damar Savar Chadi Yitzira Havai. Umar Savar Shtei Yitzora Otavi. One of them held that there was one creation, and one of them held that they were true creations. Meaning that in the first creation, man and woman were made, or was there a first creation with man alone, and then together with a separate creation with man and woman? So Mar says, "Lo, the kuli ama chada yitzira." Everybody agrees that there was only one yitzira over here. And Rashi says over here, "Kamanda mar beiruvin vayivin et tzela partzuf shemitchilat biyitron ivrea shtei partzufim." Then in the beginning of creation, they were created with 2 faces, and that's one yitzira. I mean, there's one yitzira for man and woman. And therefore, you'd only make one bracha of Yitzira. That's what it seemingly means. If you thought that it was Shtei Yitzirot, that Adam and Chava were made totally separately, then you would say that you'd have two brachot of Yetzirah. That was the Havamin of the Gemara. The Gemara rejects that and says, no, Kuli Alma Yetzirah Havi. Mar Savar Botar Machshava Azlinan. Mar Savar Batar Mazseh Azlinan. One of them says that we go after the Machshava, what was Hashem's intent? And the other one says we go after the Mazseh. So over here, the difference being is Allah b'machshava. This is a terminology that the Midrash uses many times, that Hashem was Allah b'machshava to create Adam and Chava separately, but in the end, He made them together. He made them Yetzira Achat. So that's what Rashi says, Sh'shnaim alu b'machshava li barot. They were originally had in mind to bring two of them, v'nivra Achat, but then He only made one in the end. So therefore, where do we follow? Do we go after the machshava? Or do we go after the actual Yetzirah? The actual Yetzirah was only a single Yetzirah. So therefore, you would only make one bracha of Yetzirah. On the other hand, if you think Allah b'makshava to make them separately, then you would have two brachot of Yetzirah. One Yetzirah for the Adam and one Yetzirah for Chava. That is what the Gemara says over here, is the machloke between them. Now, Tosafot over here and Rashi argue about which of the brachot is associated with which one. You can see here in the Tosfot, Chad Yitzir Avi, Sarach Lamar, Dainu Kemand Amar, Patsuf Echad. Aval Lamand Amar, Hatam Shnei Partsufim, Lo Sfir Leihachi. The one who holds that it's two Tzvartvim doesn't hold like this. Kach Perish HaRashvam. Rashi says over here, the Yitzir Achat is that they were made together. Man and woman were made together. Tosfot, on the other hand, says here that the Yitzir Achat means one Partsuf. That the woman wasn't included at all. That would also determine which one you would leave out. Which of the brachot did you leave out over here? So Rashi says, Bri Chamesh, that He made the bracha of Shakol, then Vashir Yatzar et Adam. When He made Shit, He added in Yotzer Adam. So Rashi says Yotzer Adam was the one that was getting played in and out over here. Whether they had Yotzer Adam or they didn't have a Yotzer Adam. According to Tosafot, it's clear that Yotzer Adam would be there. The question is Vashir Yatzar et Adam going to be there? Because there's only a creation with man alone. That's a Yotzer Adam. Do you include Asher Yatzaret Adam Bitzamo Bitzam Demo Tavnito? Do you make that bracha separately? Do we go after what Hashem intended originally to have two creations? Or do you go after the final statement, which is man was created without any woman or face there, and therefore there's only one bracha, which would be Yotzer Adam? Seemingly, that would be the difference here between Tosfot and Rashi, as to which bracha you skip over here, based on their understanding of the machloket here in the Gemara. Yeah, because Yotzer Adam refers to the creation of man alone. So Rashi says, leave that out. If you are going to say that they were Shnei Partsufim, then man and woman were created together. So you just start with Asher Yotzer Adam. Skip Yotzer Adam. Yotzer Adam is for Allah b'machshava, that there were two creations, that one for man, one for woman. Tosafot says, no, that when you say Yetzirah Achat, that means they're just man alone. It means no woman at all. So you only would say Yotzer Adam. Whereas if you had both of them, you would say Asher Yotzer Adam b'damo b'tzelem d'bitoto, if you say with the machshava. So that's what it seemingly is the machloket here between Rashi and Tosafot as to which bracha you skipped. I heard from my Rebbe Rav Rosenzweig in terms of this concept of Allah b'machshava. He bases it on the Rabbeinu Bechai in Breishit. Many times in Breishit and in Sefer Breishit, we see these ideas of Allah b'machshava. What does that mean, Allah b'machshava? First of all, it's a terrible emunah thing to say God thought about something and He changed His mind. Because the fact that God changed His mind already, that brings up serious faith questions about how could God not know. What does it mean that He changed His mind? So Rabbeinu Bechai over there says, whenever the terminology is used as Allah b'machshava, it is setting out an ideal. Allah b'machshava means what is the ideal. Then, what is the practical ramifications? That's what happened in reality. So Allah b'machshava, it's an ideal. But why would you set the ideal if that's not what's going to happen? Because the ideal still plays a role. Even though, now, what actually happened, what actually was manifest, is that it happened this way. Nevertheless, the ideal still is important. Right, so that's what we say. Allah b'machshavto livrotat olam b'din. God wanted to create the world b'din. In the end, He saw it wouldn't succeed. So therefore, He made it b'rachamim. But when He made it b'rachamim, that doesn't mean that it's rachamim without din. Din still plays an important role. And the ideal, in the end, din is the ultimate factor. So rachamim just extends the ability for the din to be carried out. But in the end, the world is created out din. Rachamim just gives us an opportunity to rectify or not to have cause and effect immediately. To have the cause and effect separated, but din still plays an important role. The same thing here. Allah b'machshava. And then what happened? So it was Allah b'machshava li baro to bring, create them separately. In the end, He created them as, according to Rashi, a single individual. So that brings the ideal plus the practicality. So in practicality, what we have is, we have a unit. Is that we want to go back to Gan Eden. We want to be the basar echad. The union over here is an existential union that connects back to the origins of creation where man and woman were together as one. But on the other hand, there's still this ideal that they're independent, that man and woman are separate, that even though they join in a wedding, it doesn't mean that they have to crush their identities, that now they become a unit that has no individual expression to it. It's important also to preserve that aspect of the union. Each individual has what to create, to contribute. Each individual is important in and of themselves. Yes, the union together, 1 + 1 is more than 2. But on the other hand, there's still a 1 + 1, and you have to be important to maintain both aspects here. That marriage is not the crushing of the individuality into a singular unit. It's the problem or the issue that we face anytime you deal with a klal, or you deal with a general Am Yisrael, Klal Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael. When you deal with greater ideas that are for the tzibur, for the people as a whole. So therefore we can say, oh, maybe we'll trample on individuals to get there. It's also important that we don't do that, that the individual is just as important as the stepping stones to get there, and we can't just say, okay, forget about those people because here's the greater good. In the greater good, we still have to remember those individuals that make up the greater good, and we can't just trample on them to get to the greater good. All right, so that's this concept of Alaba Machshava. All right, so now the Gemara says, Kiyadir Rav Yehuda, Rami Ktiv. He has this steer on the psukim. It says, Vayivralu kim et adam bitzamo, uchtiv zakar unikeva biram. How ketzad? How's that possible? Bitchilah, Alaba Machshava levarot shtayim. In the beginning, he was thinking about making them as independents. Ubasov nivra echad, in the end, he only made one. So again, according to Rashi, that means two parts of him. According to Tosfos, that means just man. Ravashi equal to Bei Rav Kahana. So Ravashi went to Bei Rav Kahana. Obviously, there was Sheva Brachot going on. There was a wedding. Yom HaKamo Borich Kulu. On the first day, he made all the Sheva Brachot. Mikan Ve'elech, Ika Panim Chadashot Borich Kulu. If there were Panim Chadashot, he made all the Sheva Brachot. Ve'lo, if not, Afushe Simcha Ba'almu. Then it's simply an increase or a part of the Simcha. Therefore, he is mevareich shasimcha b'meono v'asher bara. He would make the bracha of simcha b'meono, which is in the zimun of benching, and asher bara mishiva v'ad shloshim, from the 7 days until 30 days. Ben amar lohu machmat hilula, ben lo amar lohu machmat hilula. If they had a suda, whether they said the suda was for the chatan and kala, or they just said it was a stam suda, mevareich shasimcha b'meono. He would make the bracha of a simcha me'ono because stam, a suda that's made in the first 30 days is probably the kavod of the chatan v'kala. Therefore he made the bracha of simcha me'ono. Mikan ve'elech, yamar lohu machmat chilula. From that point forward, from 30 days and onward, if they told him the suda was for the purpose of being the samech, the chatan v'kala, or the honor of the chatan v'kala, mevarech shel simcha me'ono. Ve'lo, lo. And if not, he would not. V'chi amalei machmat chilula, areimat. When they tell you they're doing it for the chatan v'kala, how long does that last? How much of their lifetime can you keep saying that it's for the chatan v'kala? Amar Rabbi Mishvei the Rabbah, Treso Yachishata, first year, Shana Rishona. So this is that conceptually you see here the building blocks that are similar to Avelut, which is Shiva, Shloshim, and the year. And these building blocks are similar in the Brachot of Sheva Brachot in the same cycle that we can assume that within that Shana Rishona, many things are done for the simcha of the chatan v'kala. The question is, what's the default? During the 30-day period, the default is it is for them. In the one-year period, it's the default it's not for them unless it's stated otherwise. But if you state otherwise, it is also in their honor, and you can say, she'a simcha b'mo'no. So Mara says, umikara me'imat. When do we start? When do we start doing these brachot of simcha? If she'a simcha b'mo'no and she'a bara are simply about the simcha, when does the simcha start? So Amra Papa, mechiramu sare basinta. So when they start pouring the water into the barley, over here it seems to be the hops, they were making beer. I mean, it's once they start the preparations for the sudata nisuin, that's when already they have the status of chatan v'kala, and you can start saying a simcha b'meono, and they have other impacts here, including possibly not saying tachnun. When does this individual have a status of a chatan, and the kala have a status of a kala? Rashi brings a second interpretation, is that Ramei Sarei, that they used to have a minhog, that when the chatan and kala, they used to plant se'orim batzitz, they used to plant them in pots. Lomar pru revuv etzim chukin se'orim alalu, to say that they should grow like these se'orim. To mean that it was symbolic that they grew the se'orim. Once they plant those plants, that means that you're so close to the wedding that that's the time for the bracha. Ini, is that true? V'rav papa yasek la'aba mar b'rei. Didn't Rav Papa take care of Abba Mar, his son? Yasek, usually in the Gemara, means that he was taking care of shiduchin for him, he was getting him a wife. Ubrorech mishat erusin. And he made the bracha at the time that he made the shidduch, the erusin. So shani rapapa, Because he was majorly involved. It was a big symbol for him. Once he was so involved in the process, he already had begun the work of the Suda Tanisuin, basically, by going and involved in the Shidduch. Therefore, we should already start the Simcha then. Ravina Yasek Lebrei Beirav Chaviva. So Ravina was reading a Shidduch for his son in the house of Rav Chaviva. He wanted it for the daughter of Rav Chaviva. Uborech Mishate Rusin. And he made the Bracha Shate Rusin. Amar Kimli Begavayu Delo Hajibu. Says, I'm certain they're not going to back out. So lo istaya milta. Sure enough, anybody says, I'm certain they're not going to back out. Things didn't work out. Vahajibu. And they did back out over here. See that the Birkat Simcha Bemono seemingly is connected to a certain amount of Simcha that's going to lead into the Chupa or into the Nisuin. Rav Tachlifa Bar Marova Ikal LeBavel. So Rav Tachlifa, who was from Eretz Yisrael, went to Bavel. Borech Shit Arichta. He went ahead and made 6 Sheva Brachot. But he added on. He made each one of them long bracha. So not like we have these a couple of short ones and then the longer ones, every one of them he made long. The late Hilchata Kavate. The halacha is not like him. We don't do that. Rav Chaviva Ikla Lebei Mehula. So Rav Chaviva went to a Brit Milah. Baruch She Simcha Be'Mono. And he made the bracha of a Simcha Be'Mono in the benching for the Brit Milah. The late Hilchata Kavate. Again, the halacha is not like him. Shum Tetride. Because in the Brit Milah, there's not only Simcha. The person is tarud then, to eat leitzara, the yinoka, because of the pain of the baby. So this has major nafkumino. Tosfot takes it up in the Gemara Bechorot and in other places. Tzara the yinoka. The Gemara only brings this issue of tzara the yinoka with regards to this issue of simcha b'mono. Others have extrapolated and taken it to the bracha of shechiyanu. And that's why there has developed two different minagim with regards to brit milah, as to whether make the bracha of shechiyanu or not. Does tzara l'yinoka, like it wipes out the simcha b'me'ono, does that also wipe out the bracha of shechiyanu? Or is the bracha of shechiyanu have nothing to do with tzara l'yinoka? It's a dinner, it's a bracha on the mitzvah, and we make a birkat shechiyanu, independent of the simcha, or somewhat of the tainted simcha, because of the tzara l'yinoka. So there's a machloket amongst the rishonim. The Sfaradim make the birkat shechiyanu anywhere they are. The Ashkenazim make the bracha in Eretz Yisrael, according to the Gra, who favors the opinion that says that you should make the bracha of shechiyanu, and in Chutz La'aretz, the Ashkenazim don't do it based on the psak of the Ramah. In addition to that, Tosfot mentions about Pidyon HaBen, because by Pidyon HaBen, we do make a birkat shechiyanu, and there's no problem of simcha there, and therefore he also entertains the possibility that maybe simcha be'ono should be made by Pidyon HaBechor. There is a Yam Shel Shlomo in Baba Kama that asked the question, why don't we make the bracha of a simcha b'me'ono by a siyum masechet? And he does it over there. The Pachad Yitzchak, Rav Huttner, has a piece on that, and he explains why you wouldn't say a simcha b'me'ono by a siyum masechet, because he views Torah and mitzvah differently. Whereas a mitzvah, near mitzvah b'Torah, or the bracha of a simcha b'me'ono is a bracha that's associated with things that are not permanent, but things that are temporary, or there for a short-lived time. Whereas Torah has a different aspect to it, which is Torah is a permanent fixture, something that is overarching, and therefore a simcha b'me'ono would be something that is inappropriate for a siyum masechet versus for a particular mitzvot like brit milah or marriage, where the focus is on the simcha of the moment and not as something that is a existential simcha like a siyum masechet. So in conclusion here, when we're looking at simcha b'me'ono, here, the Gemara concludes with regards to Erusin, that it's inappropriate to say a simcha b'me'ono by the Erusin, because there's no simcha around the Erusin. Erusin are a kinyan, they are the starting of a process, there might be even a mitzvah involved according to some, but it's not involved in simcha, and we know that from the halachot of Tisha B'Av. But as halachot of Tisha B'Av, we do invoke the principle of Shema Yikadmenu Acher, that one is allowed during the period of Avelut, of the 9 days, to have Erusin, because Erusin are not inherently associated with Simcha. As opposed to that Nisuin, where we know for certain you're going to say it, because by Nisuin, there is an inherent Simcha that is associated with Nisuin, and that's why Nisuin are not allowed during the period of the 3 weeks and during the 9 days, because there is an inherent Simcha. It's by definition there is Simcha associated by the Nisuin, and therefore for certain over there you would say, Shas Simcha b'me'uno. The milah has attention in it, because on one hand we say the psukim, Sasanuchi al imratecha kemotzei shlav rav. So on one side, we have the simcha aspect of it. On the other aspect, we have the tension with the tzara l'dinyanoka. So it's, yes, there's simcha, but there's some sort of mitigating factor to that simcha, and therefore there's a question about saying simcha b'me'ono. Pejon aben, where there might be simcha involved, is it enough simcha to generate the simcha b'me'ono? It's enough to allow us to make the bracha of Shechianu, according to Tosafot, and you also don't have the mitigating factor of tzara l'dinyanoka. So is there enough simcha there? And again, we spoke about the Yamshel Shlomo in Baba Kama, who asks about by a seal masechet, why don't we say simcha b'me'ono? Because there we say by learning of Torah, same problem that we have, why you're not allowed to learn Torah on Tisha B'Av or when a person's in Avel, because Pikudei Hashem Yisharim Misam Chelev. So there is a simcha that is associated with the learning of Torah. But in the end, if we look carefully, based on the Gemara Moed Katan, the Gemara only brings the concept of Ein Marvim Simcha B'Simcha with regards to one simcha, and that's the simcha of Nisuin, the simcha of Ishut. So we see that the simcha of Nisuin has a very, very unique status. Here earlier in the Gemara we saw that it was called a regel. It's as if it's a regel b'fnei atzmo for the chatan, and he's able to be docha velut because of that. So it is elevated to the status of a regel. The Orach HaShulchan has an interesting approach here, and he notes that you need the simcha b'me'ono by Nisuin because we want to be madgish and emphasize that side of simcha. Because the Iker mitzvah associated with getting married is pru urvu. And pru urvu involves responsibility. It involves a tirda, as we saw earlier in the Gemara. And therefore, a person may not, quote unquote, remember to have the right frame of mind or have been the right frame of simcha. And therefore, we use the simcha ma'ono actually as a reminder or a way to prop up the simcha of the nisuin. As opposed to the other views that we just spoke about, where the simcha seems really inherent to the nisuin, over here the Orach HaShulchan has this perspective that the simcha ma'ono is a way to remind us that we have to maintain the simcha here, despite the difficulty of two parties coming together who have different views and different styles, and the difficulty of integration, the responsibility that comes with marriage and building a bayit ne'aman, as well as the mitzvah pru urvu and the tirda associated with that. All of those could mitigate the simcha, so we remind you in the benching, simcha memono, we're in the midst of the simcha, don't forget. Don't forget the ikra simcha here of the nisuin. According to most of the Rishonim over here, by simcha memono, as long as there is a mezumon, you can make the bracha of a simcha b'me'ono. You don't need actually a minion to create the simcha memono. There is one daya of the Bala Itur that the simcha memono is actually a part of the Birkat Chatanim. And it's not a part of the quote-unquote Birkat HaMazon. And therefore, for the Bali Tour, you could envision that he would require 10 for the Simcha B'me'ono, whereas for most of the others, where it's just a part of the benching, there we would say that you don't need a minion in order to say that. As far as Asher Bara is concerned, why is that the exception here to the Brachot? So we talked about it before, that it is possibly that it's the last of the Brachot. It's more complex, it's more long, but it's still part of the Birkat Chatanim. And it's just one of the Birkat Chatanim. And if that's the case, then we would assume that you would need a minion in order to say Asher Bara. On the other hand, you could view Asher Bara as a Birkat HaSimcha Klali. That it's not really a bracha that is part of the Birkat Chatanim, but it's a rather a bracha on Simcha in general. And Chatan Bekala that are mentioned here because they are the paradigmatic individuals of Simcha. We do the same thing in the Chadodi. When we go, Kimsot Chatan Al Kala. When you want to talk about real Simcha, you want to talk about Sason, you talk about a Chatan Vikala. So too over here, that final bracha is really a bracha on Simcha, general Simcha, not a bracha particular to Chatan Vikala. Chatan Vikala are the examples of the paradigms of that. So it's appropriate to say the bracha when the Chatan Vikala are there. But because it's a Fushe Simcha, then you could say it Asher Bara, even without Panim Chadashot that are there. The other possibility is that Asher Bara, as we said before, is the quintessential Birkat Chatanim. It's a quintessential Birkat Chatanim because it encapsulates all the concepts and all the ideas that we mentioned in the previous Sheva Brachot, and therefore it is the quintessential Sheva Brachot. And so because of that, we say it at any one of the Sheva Brachot because it encapsulates all that's there. The question of whether you need a minion or not for the Asher Bara would really rest upon your perspective of, number one, what the Panim Chadashot do, and number two is, what is the status of this bracha of Asher Bara? So if you say that the Panim Chadashot just add an additional dimension of Simcha, and it's not the same people that were there before, then you could envision that it doesn't have to necessarily have a minion there. On the other hand, if you look around like the Ritva and the Rashba, who think that this is a reenactment of the Chuppah for those people that weren't there, then you would really view this as really being a part of the Birkat Chatanim. Amongst the Rishonim, we have three different approaches to whether you need a minion or not. We know that Birkat Chatanim require 10. Sheva Brachot require 10. Over there, we discussed earlier the possibilities of that because it's a Davar Shebik Dusha, or because it's Orach Ara. And then amongst the Rishonim, for Asher Bara alone, do you need to have 10? So the Tosfot Arid says, Asher Bara, you could say even be Yechidut. You don't even need 3, you don't even need a mezumin in order to say Asher Bara. Not because it's not Birkat Chatanim, but because it is the quintessential Birkat Chatanim, and therefore they can say it at any meal that they have together. Obviously, according to the Tosfot Arid, Birkat Chatanim, the reason for Asara, for 10, is because it's Orach Ara. And since Orach Ara is the determination for 10, over here, if you don't have 10, then you can still make that one bracha of Asher Bara because of the Simcha that is associated with this period of time. The Ramban, on the other hand, sees Asher Bara as being a part of the Birkat Chatanim. And therefore, he requires 10 to say Asher Bara, even when it's alone. On the other hand, the Ran is Choleik over here, and the Ran says that you only need 3 for Birkat Chatanim, similar to as Simcha b'me'ono. And it seems that he views this as being a bracha of Simcha, a bracha of Simcha klali, as we said before. The Tosfot Arid here seems to be taking up that opinion that we said before, that this is the quintessential Birkat Chatanim, and it belongs at any time period during the Sheva Brachot. And since the minyan there is only because of Orach Ara, we can waive that need when it comes to this quintessential bracha. On the other hand, the Ramban's taking up that position we said before, that Birkat Asher Bara is just one of the Birkat Chatanim. Since it's one of the Birkat Chatanim, you acquire Asara, like you need Asara by Birkat Chatanim. On the other hand, the Ran seems to indicate that the Birkat of Asher Bara is just a bracha of Simcha Kvali. It's similar to a Simcha B'me'ono. And just like by Simcha B'me'ono, you only require a Mezumin in order to have the 3, so too over here, you only require 3 or Mezumin in order to say Asher Bara, according to the Ran. And that will also be mashpia on their view about who is the Panim Chadashot over here. According to the Ramban, in order to say Asher Bara, says you need more than the family there. You need friends there because you need Simcha B'Re'ut in order to generate the Birkat Chatanim. On the other hand, the Ran, who just simply says this is a bracha of Simcha, believes that the family members would suffice in this case, because as long as there's a little more Simcha or there is a Fushay Simcha, that's enough to say the bracha of Asher Bara. The Meiri takes a position between the Ran and the Ramban and says that you need Simcha V'Re'ut over here, even though he doesn't see this as being a Birkat Chatanim and you don't need a minion over here. Nevertheless, he says when we're talking about Simcha, it has to be enough of a Simcha that it's considered to be special enough to say the bracha. And that only happens when you have Simcha and Re'ut, not if you just have Simcha, if you just have family members that are there. The Rishonim also discussed over here whether the trigger for the Birkat Chatanim has to be in the Beit Chatanim. And do you need the Beit Chatanim in order to have the Simcha Me'ono? And do you need Beit Chatanim in order to have the Bracha V'Asher Bara? So here we have Machloket in the Rishonim. There's a Tosfot in Sukkah and Daf Chavei. There's a Ritva Aran and the Ritva B'Shem Balei Tosfot that argue about what are the necessary frameworks in which you make these Brachot. And there is a question today based on our Gemara as to whether by Tznaim at the wedding, is that already a time that you would have Birkat Chatanim? And it might matter by depending on how the Tanaim or the complexity of the Tanaim. If you have simple Tanaim, then maybe there you wouldn't say that's already the beginning of the wedding, and therefore you wouldn't have to have Birkat Chatanim. If the Tanaim are more extensive, or maybe a Lechaim that we have before, does the beginning, or does that have a simple that is associated with the marriage? Now that might have to do with how far along you are in the process. Again, by Tanaim that we do today at the wedding, you're so close to the wedding that maybe that is already the beginning of the wedding. And maybe we should have the Birkat Chatanim over there. And therefore, Rabbi Zosenzweig said that he was very makpid to only use the Tanaim of Rav Moshe Feinstein, which is a very simple Tanaim, in order not to have that problem at the wedding. But others obviously are going to say that the Tanaim are equivalent to what every sin were at the time of the Gemara that was done beforehand, even though we today do it so close to the wedding. But because they are not a final stage where there's no backing out, so therefore we were not going to make Birkat Nisuin, or because it's so proximate to the wedding, the way that we do every sin and nisuin together, that's enough. The Birkat Nisuin already will cover everything that's taking place at the wedding.
Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav, Chatanim mina minyan, v'ne avilim mina minyan.
When it comes to the Birkat Chatanim, the Chatan counts towards the Minyan. But when it comes to the Birkat Avelim, the Avel does not count towards the Minyan. Now, seemingly this is for obvious reasons, which is when it comes to the Avel, the whole point of the people that are accompanying the Avel is to be Menachem the Avel. So since they are coming to be Menachem the Avel through the Birkat Avelim, then you would need 10 aside from the Avel. As opposed to the Chatan, where the Simcha and the celebration is with the Chatan, therefore the Chatan is Mitztarev to the Minyan. Meitave, Chatanim va'Avelim mina Minyan. Over here we have a Braita that states that both the Chatan and the Avel count towards the Minyan. It says, Matnita karamita le d'Rav. You're asking from a Braita on Rav? Rav Tanuhu upalig. Rav has the status of a Tana, and therefore he can argue on a Braita. Rav is a Talmud of Rabbi. He is in the beginning of the generations of the Amoraim. And therefore, there in certain instances, the Gemara will invoke this principle that Rav can argue on a Braita. But in other places, Rav is treated like an Amora, and we'll see that in 1 second. But over here, the Gemara is invoking that principle, allowing Rav to disagree with the Braita. Itmar, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Chatanim mina minyan, ve'ein avelim mina minyan. So he makes the same statement that Rav made, which is that a chatan is from the minyan, counts towards the minyan, and avel does not count towards the minyan. Meitavei. And now the Gemara asks from the same braita they just asked on Rav, and says, chatanim v'avelim mina minyan. Now Tosafot already raises the issue, why doesn't the Gemara say over here, either Rabbi Yochanan Tana upalig, Rabbi Yochanan has the status of a Tana, you can argue, the answer to that is that we never find that in Shas, and Rabbi Yochanan is significantly younger than Rav. We have stories in Shas where Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are remembering the good old days when they used to learn by Rabbi, and in the front of the class sat Rav, who was the big shot there, so they are significantly younger than Rav. So they are not in that threshold between the Tanaim and Mamoraim, therefore he's not granted the status of Atano. The other possibility is that Rabbi Yochanan can say, I hold like Rav. If Rav is Tanu Hupolig, then why doesn't Rabbi Yochanan hold like Rav? So Tosafot says that's because Rabbi Yochanan doesn't treat Rav like a Tana. Because we find all over Shas that Rabbi Yochanan argues on Rav. And the Halacha even, Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha and Rabbi Yochanan. The fact that Rabbi Yochanan treats Rav like an Amora, he can't now come and invoke it and say he's a Tana. Because if he's a Tana, then Rabbi Yochanan can't argue on him. So therefore he can't use Rav as the basis for his position. Therefore the Gemara has to answer, Kitanya hi bibirkat amazon. That's talking about when it comes to benching. Rashi says over here, Birkat Hamazon, Leitztareif leGimel leZamein alav. He can be one of the three for the Zimun in benching. Sharei Chayav b'chol mitzvot, because an Avel has to keep all the mitzvot. So that Braita is talking about the Avel being Leitztareif to the Zimun. Tosafot already asks on Rashi, it's so obvious. An Avel is Chayav in all the mitzvot. Why would you have to tell me specifically that an Avel can join in the Zimun over here? And therefore, Tosafot says over here, Kitanya Ahi means, Hainu Birkat Avelim, that is found in the Birkat Hamazon. And since again, when we're talking about the Birkat Avelim in the Birkat Hamazon, over there, it's for the Avel. It's the Menachmim doing it for the Avel, and therefore it would be inappropriate to count the Avel towards the number that you need for the Birkat Avelim. Now, in defense of Rashi, it might be that Zimun is different than other mitzvot. Because the whole concept of Zimun is that you have three people together, you're no longer alone, you become a unit, you become a group. The whole idea of Avelut is a concept of bdidut, of being alone and feeling a certain amount of existential loneliness. And therefore, maybe with regular mitzvot, yes, he's chayav. But when it comes to mitzvot that involve generating groups or bringing people together, over there, maybe we would say that the Avel is precluded. Like we find by Tisha B'Av, an Erev Tisha B'Av, by the Suda Mafseket, there, we'd say to people, don't eat together, because we don't want you making a mizimun out of the Suda Mafseket. So it's over here. That's what Rashi's saying. Even though you would have thought that maybe the Avel should not be mitztarev to the Zimun, nevertheless, that's what it's saying, this Braita, that he is mitztarev to the Zimun. Mar says, Ki kama Rabbi Yochanan, on the other hand, when Rabbi Yochanan's speaking about it, it's bishura. That is, after they leave the gravesite, after they have buried the mate, they make shtei shurot for the Avel to pass through, which is the practice today. What Rabbi Yochanan is saying is that shura cannot be less than a minyan. You need a minyan of people besides the Avel to make a shura for the Avel to go through. Ve'lahad amar Yitzchak amar Rabbi Yochanan mivarchim birkat chatanim ba'asara v'chatanim min minyan. When it talks about birkat chatanim, that's with 10, and the chatan counts. U'birkat avelim ba'asara. And the bracha of the avelim is with 10, ve'in avelim min minyan. Bracha b'shura mi'ika. There's no bracha in the Shura. In the Shura, we just are menachem the Avel. We say, Amakom yenachem etchem betoch she'ar v'lei tzion v'yushalayim as the Avel passes through the Shura. But there's no bracha associated with it. So what bracha is Rabbi Yochanan talking about? Elohim came, we're speaking about Birkat HaMazon. If that's the case, then he is in contradiction with the Braita again, because the Braita was talking about Birkat HaMazon, and here Rabbi Yochanan is talking about Birkat HaMazon. Elokikama Rabbi Yochanan birechava. When Rabbi Yochanan was speaking about, that's talking about the Sudat Havra'a that they make out on the street. The first meal when the Avelim come back to their house, the community used to provide the meal for the Avel. They would do that out on the street in this public place. And there, that's where Rabbi Yochanan says his statement that the Avel does not count towards the minyan for the Birkat Avelim over there. That for all the days of Sheva Brachot, you make the bracha of the Birkat Chatanim with 10. It requires Sheva Brachot, require 10. V'chatanim in a minyan, and the chatan counts towards the 10. Birkat Avelim, Basarak, Kol Shiva. When it comes to Birkat Avelim, for all 7 days. Now there's the Sudat Avra'az, the first meal when he comes back. That's not for all 7 days. Ve'en Avelim in a minyan. And the Avel does not count towards the minyan. Birkat Rechava, Kol Shiva, Mi'ika. What do you mean? Well, since when is there Sudat Avra'a for all 7 days of the Avelut? It says, Mishkachat la bepanim chadashot. We find that by panim chadashot. By panim chadashot, you will have this idea of a Sudat Avra'a, or an extension of the Avelut. And like we spoke about earlier in the Daf, just like Panim Chadashot generate, in a sense, a new Simcha for the Chatan, or, according to the Ritvan Rashba, it's a reenactment of the Chupagin, so too we would say the same thing by the Avel and the Panim Chadashot of the Avel. We saw this already in Moed Katan, but when new people show up, the Avel is set back, in a sense, to the either moment of death or the first day of Avelut. And because of that, either his sorrow is increased again, and therefore he has to act like an Avel in a certain manner, or we can say again, it's a reenactment of the Mitah when you're Panim Chadashot over here, because now you're explaining again and speaking again to these people who don't know and didn't hear about it, and therefore it's as if there is a new Avelut over here. Ki ad Rav Chiya bar Ava, Makrei Banei Dereish Lakish. Like Rav Chiya bar Ava was the Torah teacher, Tanakh teacher of the children Reish Lakish. Family law, and some say, Matni Brei de Reish Lakish Ava. He was the Mishnah teacher of Reish Lakish's children. Shachev Le Yenoka. Unfortunately, one of the children of Rav Chiya bar Ava passed away. Yom HaKama Lo Azal Legabek. On the first day, Reish Lakish did not go to be Menachem Avelim, probably because it's not always necessarily appropriate to go on the first day. I mean, there are different stages for Avelut. We said before, the first day, the 3 days, and different people with different relationships might come in those periods of time. So Reish Lakish did not go on the first day. The Machar, Dabrei Lehuda bar Nachmani miturgmenei. On the next day, on the second day, he went with Yehuda bar Nachmani miturgmenei, who was Reish Lakish's microphone or spoke on his behalf to the public. So Amalei kum ema milta, called Kabil Yenoka. So then Reish Lakish says to his miturgman, go ahead and say something to Reb Chiya bar Ava for someone who has lost a child. Patach va'amar. So he began by saying, Vayar Hashem vayinatz mikas banav uvinotav. And when Hashem saw this, he loathed them because of the provocation of his sons and his daughters. Dor shavot mina'atzim la'akodesh baruch hu. In the generation in which the people cause distress to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kwes al b'nehem v'al b'notehem. He gets angry at their children. He's reinterpreting the pasuk, and that's saying Vayar Hashem Vayinatz Mikas Banav Ubinotav. There, Hashem's reaction is to the anger of what the children are doing, but rather he is parsing the pasuk to say Vayar Hashem Vayinatz. Then he takes out his kas al banav ubinotav on the children of those individuals umeitim kashem ktanim, and therefore they die when they're young. Vika Damri Bachur Avo. Some say that he was not a child, but rather a young man who had passed away. And this is the pasuk he quoted. Al kain abachurav lo yismach Hashem, v'et yitoma v'et almanotav lo yirachem. Therefore Hashem will not be happy with his young men, and on his orphans and widows he will have no mercy. Ki chulo chaneif umeira. Because everyone is a hypocrite and evil. V'chol peh dover nevala. And every mouth speaks untruth. Bechozot lo shava po. Despite all of this, his anger is not turned back. Va'od yado netuya. And his hand is still stretched out. My va'od yado netuya. What does it mean that his hand is still outstretched, that Hashem's anger has not been placated? Everybody knows why a kala gets married, why a young couple gets married, and what's going to happen afterwards. El kol minavel piv umotzi devar nivala mipiv. That's what it said before. V'chol peh dover nivala, that if any person who speaks what should not be uttered, even though it's known and even though it's well understood, but anybody who actually articulates it, afilu nechtam lo gzar dino shel 70 shana l'tova. Even if he has a gzar din, 70 years, that's the average lifespan of an individual. And even if he has a gzar din b'tova because of everything he's done, it's changed for the bad. So they said, Ata l'nuchumei, tzuri kemitzarele. So Shlaki says to him, you're coming to give him nichum. Instead, you are causing him more pain by saying the reason that his child died is because of what he did. So this is what he was explaining to him. Chashivata l'tpusei adara. You are considered to want to be one of the tzaddikim and the leaders of the generation, and therefore you take the brunt or the hit for the generation. So it's not that it's you in particular who's being punished over here, and that's why he died, but because you are one of the leaders and the tzaddikim of the generation, your children are being caught up in the sins of the generation. So then Reish Lakish says to his Miturgaman, say something in praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Patach ve'amar. So he began, Akel agadol birov gadlo, Hashem who is great in his tremendous greatness, adir v'chazak, awesome and strong, birov noraot, in all awesomeness, mechaye meitim b'ma'amaro, he brings the dead back to life by his word, oseh gadolot aden cheker, he does great things without any count, v'niflaot, and wonders aden mispar, without any enumeration. Baruch ata Hashem, mechaye ha-meitim. Blessed be Hashem who brings the dead back to life. So he's giving bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but embedded in that bracha is also the concept or the issue of mechaye ha-meitim, which was going to give some sort of solace to the avel over here of Chiyar Ba'avo, because he was talking about tchiyat ha-meitim, that his son would come back. Why don't you say something for the avelim, a bracha for them? Patach v'amar. He says to them, Achenu, amiyugaim. You are brothers who are worn down, tired, amdukaim, who are despondent, beivelazeh, through this terrible mourning. Tnu lebavchem lachkor et zot. Take to heart this matter. Zoti omedet laad. This is always here. Nativu misheji mei breishit. It is the cycle of life from the beginning of time. Rabim shatu, rabim ishtu. Many people have drank from, we'll call it the kos avelut. Rabbi Mishtu, and many will in the future drink from it. K'mishteh rishonim, kach mishteh achronim. Similar to the excitement and the coast that you drink at the birth of a child, so too there is a drink at the end of life when a person's life expires, meaning that this is the natural cycle of life, and therefore a person should not get too despondent and too wrapped up in the avilut, as Rashi says, luftuvku yoter midai. Achenu, our brothers, bal nechamot, the master of bringing solace, Yenachem etchem, should bring you consolation. Baruch menachem avelim, blessed be the one who brings nechama, brings consolation to the avelim. Amar Abayi, so I have a little interlude here, which says, Abayi says, Rabim shatu leima. The bracha that is said here, it's okay to say Rabim shatu, that many have had the drink of the coasts of Elut, but Rabim yishtu lo leima. But a person should not say about the future, Mishtei Rishonim leima. He can talk about the first mishteh, the excitement around the birth of an individual, mishteh achronim lo leima, but the mishteh or the sudat havra'ah that is associated with avilut, he shouldn't mention. Damar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, v'chein tana mishmei de Rabbi Yossi, because we have a member of Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, and some have it as a braita in the name of Rabbi Yossi, lo olam aliftach adam piv l'satan. Person should not open his mouth to the satan by saying something like that, and in the future there will be death, or in the future there will be a sudat havra'ah. It's almost wishing that will happen. And therefore, we don't discuss those issues. Yes, it's understood, it's known, but we don't say it explicitly because we don't want to open up the opportunity for the Satan. And we saw that in the Gemara and Moed Katan about the concept of Al Yiftach Peh, the Satan. I'm Rav Yosef Maikra. How do we know that you're not supposed to say things that are negative because that will actually engender a negative response? Because in Shayahu, this is by the Aftorah for Shabbat Chazon, we say, Kistom Hayinu L'Amora Daminu. When Yeshayahu is speaking about the nation, about the people, the Jews in Yerushalayim, what they're doing, we are like those of stone, and we are similar to the people of Amorah. Mahadarleh. So then when HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes back to speak to Yeshayahu, he says, Shimu Dvar Hashem, Ktzinei Sdom. Says, listen to me, you princes of Sdom, you leaders of Sdom. So Hashem picks up on what Yeshayahu said, and then he uses that in the playbook going forward. He calls them the Ktzinei Sdom. So Amalei, Kumei Mamilta, Kenege Menachemei Avelim. So then he continues, Reish Lakish says to his Meturgaman, Yehuda Bar Nachmani, go ahead, while you're on a roll, why don't you give also a bracha or something for the Menachamim, those that are coming to comfort the Avelim, Patach V'Amar. He says, Achenu, Gomlei Chasadim, you, our brothers, our brethren that came to do Gemilat Chesed here, B'nei Gomlei Chasadim, children of those that do kind deeds, Hamach Zikim B'Brito Shel Avraham, Avinu, that keep up the covenant of Avram Avinu, who also was a Gomel Chesed, Achenu, Balagmul, Ishalem Lechem Gmulchem, our brethren, you, those that are the Menachamim here, Balagmul, the one who pays back, Yishalem Lechem Gmulchem, should pay you back in kind, meaning that you should be rewarded for your Gemilat Chesed here. Baruch Atah, Mishalem HaGmul. And he gives a bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, you are the one who pays back all those that are Gomel Chesed. Amalei Kumei Memilta Keneged Kol Yisrael. It says, while you're on this, why don't you say something about all of Kol Yisrael? Patach V'Amar. Ribon HaOlamim, the master of all the worlds, Bedei Vatzel, Malei Tosha, Amcha Yisrael Minadever, redeem, save, extract, bring salvation to your nation Israel, Minadever, from plagues, Umina Cherev, and from war, Umina Biza, and from being plundered, Umina Shidafon, or from terrible weather or winds, Umina Yerakon, or diseases, Umikol, Mine Puraniot, Amidrakshot, Uvaut Olam, and from any types of bad events that come upon the world, terem nikra vatatene, before we call, you are there to save us and take care of us, but it should be that way, that Hashem, you should answer, it should take care of us before we even call out to you. Baruch atah utzera magifa, blessed be you Hashem who stops the plague. Amar ulav, amri lava matnita tana, sarak losot tignu chachamim beit avel. Chachamim are mitakein that there are 10 kosot, that you drink 10 times wine in the beit avel. As Rashi says over here, to drown out the sorrows, to take away these terrible feelings of despondency and loss that are felt here. Shlosha kodem achila, 3 before the meal to whet the appetite. Kedei v'toach et b'nei me'av. Shlosha b'toch achila, 3 during the meal. Kedei d'shrot achila, shebe me'av, to help with the digestive process. V'arba'al achar achila, and 4 after the eating that are connected, the brachot of birkat amazon. Echad keneged azan. V'chad keneged birkat haaretz, v'chad keneged b'noi Yerushalayim, v'chad keneged atov ha-meitiv. 1 for each of the brachot of birkat hamazon. Hosifu aleihem arba'a. They added on an additional 4 cups of wine, so now they're up to 14. Echad keneged chazanei ha'ir. 1 for the gabayim of the city. V'chad keneged parnasei ha'ir. 1 for the wealthy individuals of the city. V'chad keneged beit ha-mikdash. 1 for the beit ha-mikdash. V'chad keneged Rabbi Gamliel. And 1 for Rabbi Gamliel. We'll explain the latter one, Rabbi Gamliel, in a second. The other 3 are 1 for the Chazanei Ha'ir, because they are mitapel with the mate, and they help out the Chevra Kadisha with the burial and with the Avelim. The Parnasei Ha'ir, because they're the ones who finance the ability to have a Chevra Kadisha and help the Aniyim bury their Meitim. The Keneged Beit HaMikdash is that, just like this personal Avelut exists, there is also a national Avelut that exists, and therefore we connect these 2 types of Avel together in order to give a certain amount of consolation to the individual. Problem was that by the time they got to 14 cups, they were getting drunk. So, they went back to the original Takana that only had 10. That's the Shita of Rashi and the Rambam. On the other hand, the Ramban believes that when they said means that they only allowed drinking during the meal, and they eliminated all of these extra kosot. And that is basically the minhag today, which is that, based on the Gemara and Brachot and the Rishonim there, that we've nearly completely eliminated the drinking of wine because of the negative effects, because of this problem of shichrut, even though the wine is, as Rashi says from the Pasuk of Mishnah, Tnu Sheikhar the Oved, the Yain the Mare Nefesh, you give intoxicating drinks or wine to those people that are despondent and those people that are depressed to help them out and to overcome these problems. Nevertheless, they were taking it too far and they were getting drunk and acting inappropriately. So they stopped the practice entirely. My Rabbi Gamliel, what was this incident with Rabbi Gamliel? The Tanya. At a certain point, it became, the problem was that the same issue that people have today with smachot and weddings and bar mitzvot, which is that the standards were so high that the expenditure was getting beyond the means of the individuals. So in their day too, what was happening was that the burial of the meitim the expense was exceeding the abilities of those people to bury the mate. And therefore, what was happening after the person died, they were left in a terrible state because they couldn't afford to bury the mate with the proper trappings that were expected for the burial of a mate. At some point, they started to leave the mate and running away because the burden was too great to bury the mate. Until Rabbi Gamliel came along and activated a certain standard about himself. There is a machloket whether he himself had this or he did it for someone else. And they took him out with simple linen clothing. And after the Nasi, the leader of the generation, acted this way, that set the standard that nobody has to do these fancy burials and clothing and all the other stuff that they did at the burials anymore. Because Rabbi Gamliel was a tremendous Nasi. Either was Nohag in his household or he himself when he was taken out. That's what he had written in his last will and testament, that they do it in the simplest of manners. And if the Nasi is done this way, then certainly everybody else can follow behind him. Amar Papa Vaidna, and today, Nahugama Filu Bitsardar Bazuza. And today, we even went a step further that people are knowing today just to take a beged made out of canvas, as Rashi says. That's only worth a dinar. We bury the mate in the simplest of clothing. We try to minimize the expenditure that is associated with the burial in order that the death or the avelut should be about the person that died and focused on either kvod ha-meit or the kvod ha-avelim and not on the worries and the tirda that have to do with the costs of the burial. Again, obviously today the problem has arisen again in the burial of a meitim and the cost of burying meitim. And so maybe there's a room or need for such a takana again today. Okay, we're going to stop here by the two dots on the bottom of Chet Amud Bet.